Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Private Talk Podcast Season 2, and we are back. And we have the privilege of having Jason Cash on the couch. Hello, hello. Welcome to Private Talk. We are excited to have you. We're excited to get to know you a little bit more. And Private Talk wants to know all the things that you are up to. Don't hold back. Private Talk is all about knowing the nitty-gritty of what you're really all about. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Man, I don't even know where to start.
Where do we start with Jason Cash?
Where do we start?
Let's start with, how did you get into the music industry? Is it something that you always wanted to do? Is it something that you kind of just fell into because you're just that fucking artist person out there that you're like, I need to have people know my music?
Right.
How did it all happen?
Definitely, like, when I was in elementary school, the girl that I liked, she was in love with Lil Bow Wow.
Oh, so you're like, I gotta do better.
I was like, yeah, for sure. Like, I gotta
do better. You're like, Lil Bow Wow? Nah, let me have.
Yeah, that's really how it started. But throughout the process, you find, like, different reasons for, you know.
But is it something that, like, okay, I get the girl part. Everybody wants to be, like, cool right. in front of the shorty and be like, you know, I can do better than them. I can do this, or whatever. But is it something that you, like, played around with kind of before that you had, you know, influences that were heavy in your life, you know, prior to that point?
I mean, I was around music. I was around music a lot. My dad being a musician, I grew up in the church, so I was like around a lot of music in general. But the Bow Wow shit really kind of like set it off, you know, and I'm like, okay, now I'm trying to rap like a little kid. And then I had an older cousin. He was like a super big E-40 fan, right? So he used to try to like...
I love E-40.
Yeah, so he was rapping and shit like that. So like at the family functions.
Bay Area.
Yeah, they'll be like in the garage freestyling and shit. And I remember like as a kid, like, one day I'm gonna write some shit in my head. You know, I'm gonna have something written. So the next time they, you know, the older cousins are gathered around rapping.
So you didn't just jump in and was like, oh, I got this and just make something off the top. You were just like, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna work prepared. On my craft and I'm gonna be like, you know what? Who are you?
Yeah, I'm gonna show up prepared. So I showed up, I think it was like Thanksgiving or something, and they was rapping and I was waiting for this shit. So yeah, I got the whole verse off and they was like, they looked and they was like, damn, that was kind of tight. So after that, I just kind of like, all right. Kept doing it.
So how did that feeling feel for you that made you like jump in, like launch you into a career that, because, you know, a lot of Rush. People think that they, you know, they got it, you know, it sounds good. You're around family. So you feel comfortable. Like, how did you know, like, that was the moment that was like, I'm taking it to the top.
Man, as a kid, it's crazy. I never said this, but it was like the feeling that I got, like, I couldn't even explain it. And I remember, like, I can think of that feeling right now. The feeling was just like, man, it's kind of like, getting high or something for the first time, like I really felt like a rush. And I'm like, man, I want more of that. You know, so I started doing more raps in my head and more, you know, more things in my head because I wanted that. So even like now, I still get the feeling, you know, and that's what kind of like throughout the process while you finding your way and figuring out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, like I always held on to that feeling. So like certain shit, if I don't feel it, I'm like, okay, this ain't that. You know what I mean? So
I love that because it's like for me, I'm really about energy and feelings and stuff like that. So it's like almost like you're chasing a constant high.
Hell
and
yeah.
The high never gets like over. It only gets heightened. You know what I mean? Like
Hell
it's
yeah.
like you're going to take another hit and you're going to be like, oh, you know what? It's going to be better. And it's like it just elevate even more and more and more until you get to that point where, you know, you have hits and you know, you're doing your thing and all that stuff. You know, you just had a single released.
Yeah, I just dropped a single last Friday. Featuring Blast, who's like, he got the freshman cover right now. He's like one of the probably the hottest dude in Los Angeles right now. So, yeah, I'm coming off of that.
Where can we find it?
Everywhere. Jason Cash featuring Blast Priority. It's all over Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Amazon shit. The bootleg man down the street probably got that shit in his trunk.
So is that, would you say, like, your first big break or your song, like, music where it's, like, you already, you know, you obviously have been working for quite a while and you're doing that thing? It's like, what's...
Yeah, this is my second single on a major label because I signed the Atlantic Records and I dropped my first single, which was called All I Know. And then a month later, I came back with that one. But I did a few things in music. Like, I've written for a lot of different people and...
Is there one that you like more in particular?
Like, writing or... doing the music myself. Mm-hmm. I like doing the music myself.
Doing the music yourself?
Hell yeah.
Was there ever a time that you like wrote for somebody and you're like, man, I should have kept it?
All the time.
Who? What was the song?
I don't want to say.
Why? We
I want the truth.
Private talk. You gotta let them know. You know what I mean? You know, you're an artist.
Okay, so the song actually didn't come out. So it was a record. YG and Mozzie put out a project together, right? So I behind the scenes, like I helped on a lot of different things. Like I was just around for the process, but it was this one record that YG had did. He had a verse on there, and I had like did a little shit on the hook and et cetera, but the song was a banger. It didn't even make the project, but I was like, when I worked on that record, I was like, I need this shit. Like, I'm like, being
like more than the little like excerpt thing that you got, that you wanted like, man, a whole verse.
Hell yeah. I was like, I needed this shit. Cause it was like, especially being from LA and you know, YG is, you know, he's a, you know, that's YG, man.
Of course.
So, even having that record, I was like, damn, like I knew, if I had this song, it would just make shit go crazy. But, you know.
So did that kind of, you know, make your process of giving away music when you write stuff a little bit more like, oh, I may keep this one to myself?
Nah, not really. Especially because they already had the song. So, yeah. Like, they had the song and I came in and I added to the record that they already had. So it would have been different if it was, like, just a song that I just did from nothing. I think that's a big
misconception. So it was like a collaboration, kind of like jumping into it. Like, you know, you could put your little spin on something else if it make it you know, into your thing.
Right. I think that's like a big misconception people have about like the whole writing thing. Cause sometimes you just write something for somebody outright. But a lot of times it's like a collaborative process. Like they might already have an idea or they might already have some shit and you just add to it, like adding extra eyes, you know?
I'm big into manifestation. Hey, maybe there's time for a remix, you know, and be like, hey, man, let's rerun it. Let's bring it back. Yeah. You know, let me give it a second.
It didn't come out. So, you know what I mean?
See, there's always a chance for it. There's always a chance. So who are some of your musical, influences growing up? Was Bow Wow, because he was like a, not necessarily a competition, but is he like an influential person to you? Or is it something that you wanted to do like your own lane kind of thing?
I wouldn't take that from him and say that he wasn't an influence, because at that time that, you know, that sparked it. But like my favorite rapper is Sugar Free, so like he was a super influence. Like Snoop, Dre, Corrupt, Kendrick Lamar is my GOAT. So it's like Kendrick, Schoolboy Q, Absol. Like it was a lot of people like that. Like I was a big fans of those guys. I was a big Dipset fan. You know what I mean? Like I love Cam'ron.
So are you excited for the verses?
Yeah, I just hope they play the right records, you know?
It is very strategic. I feel like people don't really realize how strategic it is because you're just, you know, fans of those people's music.
Right.
But it's really a vibe when it's like you're kind of competing. And I feel like people at one point in the beginning, it was just fun and it was a vibe to like everyone just to hear things. But it's like you really wanted to like go battle for battle. And the only way that you can battle with music, I mean, it's like gloves, but different, you know what I mean? So it's like hit for hit. You got to go tip for tat.
Right.
And so I feel like the music placement of those songs are very strategic to like that winning thing. Although nobody really wins, you know, I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, it's in the court of public opinion. Like it's up to like us, like again, like how Bow Wow and Soulja Boy did this shit.
So who did you have?
After Bow Wow and Soulja Boy? Mm-hmm. Should I have Bow Wow before that shit started? No disrespect to Soulja Boy, but it's like,
well, because of why? Just because of like,
I mean, shit, if we telling the truth, like Bow Wow,
we only want the truth here at Private Talk.
You know, if we gonna tell the truth, Bow Wow, like, just think about his catalog, just hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. He didn't really put out a whole bunch of music that wasn't hit records. Like Bow Wow's from the time where it was single driven, super single driven. Bow Wow's just, it's ridiculous.
So Bow Wow got the W for you.
Definitely.
I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, go, I mean, especially Soulja Boy would tell you not happening.
I know, I watched Soulja Boy talk about it, but it's like.
But it's one of those things though, too. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not your biggest fan and you're not your biggest supporter, like who really is going to support you?
Right.
So it's like, you know what I mean? You kind of have to play the game in a sense, and not that he, you know, again, no disrespect because he has, you know, good, you know, records as well. But it's just one of those things is, again, like you say, like, the quality of music and the timing of it coming out and like the whole genre of, like right. you said, it was not very many music that he didn't put out that wasn't a hit, that right. wasn't, you know, that really spoke something to people. And again, there's very monumental things in Soulja Boy's, you know, career that he's the first of, Soulja you know, Boy things cracked. Of whatever, you know, it's just like he was a the gatekeeper of certain things.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. He cracked open the door for like a flood of a whole different, different shit,
genre like. Of music, which is really cool because I feel like it, you know, it's one of those things that people always say like, oh, don't do that, oh, whatever, and then when they do it, they're like, oh man, that's cool, and now everybody wants to do it. So he's definitely, you know, for me, I feel like the epitome of what that whole category means, which is very vast and, you know, big. But I feel like, you know, he was definitely monumental for a lot of people to try new things.
Nah, for sure. And then it's like, even in that regard, you have to give a certain respect to both of them because you have to have hits to go back and forth in the verses. Period. So it's like Bow Wow having a bunch of hits doesn't diminish the fact that Soulja Boy really had a hell of a career.
But I think that that's what's kind of cool about Versus is like it really speaks to like the the fans, because it's like who we want to see and music we want to see. Like, you know what I mean? From the beginning, it's like you're vibing the whole time anyways, because it's like you're like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's I just know so many times, like I'm in my kitchen watching it and I'm like, you know, you're vibing, having a whole party by yourself. Yeah. And then it's like, not very many people and artists like could do that to you and put that in that feeling of where it's like two great people back to back in that in one setting.
For sure. Like, especially like being a newer artist, it's like that's what you aspire to be able to do, to have those type of records to stand the test of time as well as like measure up against another great. Like Bow Wow can't go up against Soulja Boy if Soulja Boy not worthy. For sure.
And I think that that's really strategic of how who they actually place with the person that they're doing as well. Because, I mean, you could do that with anybody and it just doesn't measure up.
Right.
You know, or it doesn't make sense.
That's like E-40 and Too Short. Like, that makes so much sense in the Bay. Like, for sure.
So who would you, like, you're, if you could predict or, like, make happen and will it to happen on Versus, who would be your Versus, like, dream match?
I would want to see Dr. Dre versus Puff.
Okay.
I would like to see that.
I feel like, you know, you never know. But I don't know. I think that's a big one.
Hell yeah.
That would be like something like, you know, you'd really have to take people's egos aside for certain things. Because that's the thing it is too. You know what I mean? As great as like it is, it's like a lot of these people are, you know, friends. Like even like the whole Dipset thing, people are, you know, they're all talking trash in the comments. But it's all in lighthearted fun. You know what I mean? Like, and that's one of those things that people think like whenever, you know, beefs and all this other stuff was before from East Coast to West Coast. It was way more, you know, prevalent back in the day and very more detrimental to what it is. And now it's like people have squashed things and you're kind of like all in a conformity kind of thing and kind of growing together, which is great to see.
Right.
But at the same time, as it goes back with like the Bow Wow and Soulja Boy, it's like you got to really be like stand behind yours.
Nah,
I'm going to do this and this is what it is. So if you don't like it,
you
fuck
gotta
you.
You got to really stand on your shit for
sure. But it is. So we just came out of pandemic. We had all these things happening. Was it something for you that was a positive thing, a negative thing? Did it give you time because you're an artist to kind of like focus on any of your crafts and kind of business things? Or how did it have an effect on your life?
A little bit of both. I feel like when anything, you got to take the good and the bad with it. So it gives you time to like sit back and think, all right, so this used to work. This shit ain't going to work no more because the world is different. So you have to adjust to like a new normal. So now you figuring out ways, okay, what can I do? Especially when you're seeing people like do things that make themselves pop, even in the pandemic where you can't really move around and touch the fans and different things like that. So now you're watching like, okay, I can do certain things that can still interact, you know, even if it's just on the internet or et cetera. Like, you're figuring out those things. The bad side is sometimes you need to move around. Sometimes you need to touch the people. Sometimes you need to be able to be seen. Like, that shit goes far. So you just look at both. You just look at it from both ends and be like, okay, so when I'm able to move around, I'm going to maximize this shit. If I got to sit back, like, I know what I can do to keep my shit moving.
So what's one thing that you will say that you've done differently coming out of the pandemic?
Maximize my time more.
Okay.
Because, like, even before shit shut all the way down, I remember being warned, like, okay, yeah, this is about to happen. And you're like, okay, 2 weeks and we'll be back to normal. So you're thinking, like, all right, after these 2 weeks, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. But then when you can't do that, it's like, oh, fuck. What can I, you know? So now I kind of like, I like to get this shit done while I can get this shit done. I don't want to put this shit off to next week or, you know, nah, let's get this shit done while we got it, because this shit could all just be
taken like away that. From you for Fast. Sure. And I feel like that's why, you know, thank God for, you know, and being, you know, when they speak about gratitude of having certain things in place where that kind of like you had to like switch roles of it's like, for instance, like with FaceTime or like being like where you say like, you know, not being around people, like right. kind of those things. Really, if we didn't have that and you're just talking does help, whatever. But seeing what of that person or like kind of like vibing with that thing, or you know, with the, what's going on in that conversation or that moment, it really kind of helps with things. I feel like because with me, I'm an artist as well. So the same thing with Private Talk. We were fortunate enough, you know, with season one, we shot a lot of episodes. So during the pandemic, we could still release some.
Right.
But then it came to a point where, you know, we didn't have anything else. And so it was also like, do we do Zoom? Do we do something else? But for me, the whole reason and the vibe is Private Talk. It's so personal. It's like being in front of you where it's like, I couldn't get certain things from you. I don't feel like if I was on a FaceTime call,
because
you've got distractions going on. If you're in your house, you got dogs, you got kids, you got whatever going on. Whatever.
The screen.
Exactly. So and for me,
when
it's like,
you want the truth. Like
I want to talk to you and draw it out of you.
I want
to talk to you where it's like, I can feel if you're lying to me, if I can feel if you're telling me the truth or your, you know, your passion about what you're doing. And
sure.
you know what I mean? And that for me as an artist, myself, is what motivates me more to, you know, have people on the couch and talk and, you know, have a conversation is because those things, you know, it's not scripted. I don't know what I'm going to ask you. I have a, you know, a guideline of whatever it is that I want to, you know, go through, but it's like what you're going to give me. And if you don't give me that when you're on a Zoom thing, then I can't have a private talk conversation with you. You know what I mean?
So that's why you put the shit out and people see it. They like, damn, like, okay, that's not hitting like it used to hit.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily your fault because you can't be in person and you can't draw those
for
things
sure
out.
I'm all about the personal, you know, the personal aspect. I get why we had to, like, you know, go and do all the things we had to do and be safe and whatever, but you know, I'm about risks, you know. You just gotta throw it out on the fire.
I'll throw that.
So who is somebody or, you know, artist wise that you would like love to have a dream opportunity to work with?
Kendrick Lamar.
He's your goat.
My goat.
He's your goat. Would you take any opportunity? I mean, at that point, if someone was just like, I want you to either write or be on a song or whatever, is there anything that you would like more or just all around overall Kendrick Lamar? What if you're calling me, I'm answering, let's do it.
Yeah, they tell me, man, hey man, Kendrick called and he needs you to bring him 2 bottles of smart water right now. I'm pulling up.
Facts. I like that.
I'm pulling up.
Do you have any pressure in the industry, like coming up, whatever, is there any pressures that you feel like you have on the outside world?
Yeah,
speak to them.
Because okay, so being in the industry, right, you've lived on both sides. So, you know, I worked hella different jobs before.
Both sides of being like a fan and then in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the people in your regular life have seen you one way for years. Like, you've always just been that to them. So now, like, your job is to be, you know, you're the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get those people to look at you different. So they have, like, sometimes unrealistic expectations of you. You know what I mean? So, like, if you miss somebody call on a random Tuesday because you was busy a year ago, it's like, okay, it is what it is. But now when they see you do an interview and they see you doing this, that, and the third,
like, oh, you
missed
Hollywood.
That call. Right.
My nickname is Hollywood, where I'm from. So I get it.
Oh, yeah, the homies call me Hollywood Cash. You know, so.
You know, it's one of those things that I guess it's, you know, as an artist, too, it's like, for me, I feel like, you know, you go through life and it's just one of those things that you're going to, you know, lose and gain friends regardless.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like things are put in place, you know, already before that we already know that's going to happen.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like in those things, it's like, if you can't understand where I'm going, then you don't belong on the train to get to where I'm going to go.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. That's probably the most pressure because it's like, you care. So it's like, especially when it's family or somebody super close, it's like, you never want them to feel away, but certain shit, sometimes you got to put you first, especially because I have a choice. Once a lot of people have the misconception of whether it was a podcast or sports or something like that. Like once you get your contract, that is, all right, you won. It's like, nah, that's when the work really starts.
It's like halfway there halfway. It's like you scratch the wall, but you're for sure.
You just started a new race.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't really understand that because they see things change for you so drastically that they're just like, oh, yeah, you on, you up, you winning, you straight. But it's like.
But I think a lot of it's like envious, you know, jealousy. And, you know, a lot of it sometimes is like it's backhanded compliments that people don't know because they have their own ego a part of it and things like that, where it's like, just be happy.
But the worst part is sometimes people don't even know that they're jealous. They don't even realize that that's where it's coming from. And there's another rapper. He happens to be from the same city as me. His name Reason. He signed to TDE. But Reason said to me, he was like, on some man shit, just keeping it 100. I can't lie and say I've never been jealous in my life. Like, I know that feeling. Like, I've been jealous before. He was like, you could try to front, but you've been jealous of somebody before. And now you in a position where it's like, you happy to be in that position. So it's like, you don't really have too many reasons to be jealous of somebody else, but it's like, you can't knock somebody for being like that about you because you've been that before, you know?
But I feel like that's how you kind of separate, you know, evolving and growing as a person. And, you know, it's not necessarily age. I think it's just experiences as well. It's like, mm-hmm. where you want to go, like, as far as, like, we all, if you can identify between jealousy and ego, and that's usually what ego comes from, is the jealousy part, is like, you don't check yourself,
right?
You know what I mean, because I myself, again, I've been, and just recently I was in a situation that I was like, why am I, this person makes me so mad, like posting things, doing whatever, but it has nothing to do with me.
Right.
But it was just, it would irritate me, and I didn't understand why.
Right.
But a lot of it comes from of like, you think like, oh, well, I didn't have it that easy coming up, or right, I didn't do this, right, and whatever. Right. And I'm like, and then I had to sit myself down and I asked one of my really good friends. I was like, I know that you'll put me in my place. What is my problem? Like, I really, you know, how to like check yourself, because I had to check myself. And a lot of it was my ego.
Right.
It was like, it had nothing. And that's what it had to like really be like the end goal was, it has nothing to do with me. It's because either I didn't work hard enough for A, B, C, D, or I didn't, you know, think that, or I thought whatever. And it's not because I can't do the work. It's just like, you get kind of complacent of where it is. So it's like, nah, just work harder. Do it the way that you're going
to
do it.
All right, so think about it. You were self-aware enough to be like, okay, there's something off.
But that's only one step. But there's other steps to that point where you correct it.
But what I'm saying is, some people aren't self-aware enough at all to even be like, why am I feeling like this? You know?
Facts. And that's why, that's what's scary to the point. And that's usually why conflicts happen, things or whatever. Right. And that's why I'm very self-aware of, I don't know everything.
Right.
I know what I know. And I know how I feel about certain, you know, subjects and, you know, subject matter and all those things like that. But I can't tell you that your feelings aren't valid. I can't tell you what you're doing and what you're producing and putting out there to the world isn't valid.
Right.
I can only do what I know how to do and what's good for my craft or whatever. But it's like, again, evolving. Right. If I could take what you're doing, whatever, and take it and learn something from it and to, you know, go to the next step, that's evolving. Right. If I'm staying, you know, complacent in the same place and I'm just talking shit or whatever, then, you know, I'm failing.
Right.
You know what I mean? But again, it's just, it's being self-aware, and that's part of the step.
Not for sure. It's a good step. It's an important step.
Growing up is really difficult sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Not for sure. I always tell people it's hard to be great and be human at the same time.
It is.
It's very hard.
So what would you say is the best advice you've ever gotten, and from whom?
From my grandpa. He told me, don't let bad news shake your faith. And I hold on to that.
All right.
Because a lot of times, shit be seeming like it's on point. And then something could just, you could hear some shit that fuck everything up or throw your whole mood off. So, like, I would say that, grandpa saying, don't let bad news shake your faith. And then my big brother always saying, don't get too high on the highs or too low on the lows. Like, I always have to remember that, because some shit had happened that be like dope. Like, I'm like, oh shit. But the high eventually wears off, you know? And then some shit that happened that be like, have you down bad. You can get stuck there if you really just super low on the low. So I like to stay in between, you know what I'm saying? So those are like two of the things that I hold on to as I navigate through my career and just navigate through life in general, you know what I'm saying? Because if I really just got high on the highs and low on the lows, you'll forget, like, this shit is continuous. Like, I can go make the best song I ever made tomorrow, and I still have to go make another one after that.
They expect more.
More.
It's better.
Man, I put out a song Friday, and Saturday, somebody asked me for another song with the same person I just featured on the record that came out. I'm like, yo, like, it just came out last night. And they were like, yeah, I know. I listened to it 6 times already. Like, I need another one. I'm like, God damn.
Like, just because you're jonesing doesn't mean that we're not good here.
Damn, bro. Like, damn, give me a second.
But how do you deal with, like, the comments and, like, the negative feedback? Because obviously there's, you know, like you said, good and bad to everything. But it's like, how do you really, like, focus on those things, or you don't let it get to you and you're just, like, keep it pushing and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to get it to it when I get to it?
Yeah, you can't. You got to take that shit the same way. Like, even when somebody, like, tell me something really good, it's like, I appreciate that shit, but I still got to take it in stride and keep moving. Same way when somebody tell me some shit or put some shit that's like, that sound fucked up to me, it's like, I got to take that in stride too, because if I let them control my movement, good or bad, it's like, I'm fucked.
Have you ever let a fan comment get you like out of pocket and be like,
yeah.
Either you
I didn't act on it, but
you Twitter fingered it, or you like did something, or you just like, it kind of pushed you to be like, I'm gonna do something so-and-so.
Yeah, nah, I didn't act on it, but I felt it. And
can you tell us what that comment was?
Recently,
I want the truth.
Don't make me do it.
So recently, somebody asked me, was I an industry plant? And that shit kind of like, it was insulting to me, because like, for one, like, man, I'm just getting my foot in the door for real, you know what I'm saying? But I've been working for so long, and a lot of artists that these people are fans of, like, I helped behind the scenes, or I've done shit with in the process, it's like, you just finding out about me. That don't mean like I wasn't working for the last 10 plus years. So that was the first one that was like, okay, all right. That one I responded to. I'm like, yo, scroll through my gram, bro. Like, I've been around. That didn't really get me too bad. The next one was, I dropped this song with Blast, and somebody DM'd me and said, how did you get a song with Blast, and how much did he charge you? And that shit pissed me off. It pissed me off because, like, for one, I've known this dude since before he was on the freshman cover and all that type of shit. We go back, like, 10 plus years. So I'm like, already, like, okay, bro, like,
respect me.
Yeah, like, you know.
You don't know what it is. Yeah, for sure.
And then for two, it's like, again, like, having a song with him is like, I didn't do this song with bro just to go grab a bunch of fans, or just to be like on some clout shit, stand next to somebody because he's hot in Los Angeles. Like, this is somebody I have a plethora of records with. I used to be in the studio with this dude on the regular, so it's like, it was natural for me to do the song. Even the song, like when Pages post the song, they posted, I was hitting my manager. I'm like, damn, like, it's crazy. Like, when I read the comments, and it's like, Blast don't miss. It's like, and it's my song.
But you're like, where's my credit?
Yeah, like, so I had to like not let that bother me. And also, I'm mindful, like, bro, the dude is scorching. He's all over the radio. You know what I mean? He's on the, like I said, he's on the freshman cover. He just sold out a tour. You know what I mean? Like, he's popping. But I had to remind myself, because, you know, we know my history and we know what I've done and, you know, my route. But everybody watching don't. Just like, they don't know his. They don't know how far he go back. They don't know who helped him along the way. They don't know who he's helped along the way, or what, you know. They don't know none of that shit. They just see the music. And I be having to remember that shit, because I'm still a regular person and I'm still adjusting to the position that I'm in now, you know.
But I feel like that's what builds character and power, you know, behind who you really are as a brand and an artist as well, is because at the end of the day, you know, everyone needs affirmations of some kind from people. If it's your music and it's your talent or whatever, but it's also at the end of the day, like you said, nobody knows your struggle. Nobody knows how long and the hours you've put in. Nobody knows where it started from and whatever. You know, they should. And that's why we do these interviews and these podcasts, to make you more real. But not like, more real and human. You know, myself included. You know, this was the first time, you know, this is season two, but this was why I liked my podcast and love, you know, what I get to do here, is that it really gives you a voice and not just behind what your craft is. Right. You know what I mean? It gives you like, oh, you feel that way? Oh, you're human, or whatever. Right. And people forget that. It's like, you know, as much as you pour your blood, sweat, and tears into that music that you just dropped out on Friday, now you have some asshole be like, okay, what's next? Yeah. It's like, I'm already thinking about what's next. I don't need you to tell me what's next. Right. You know
or
what I mean?
Shit. And what's,
you know,
next, what I mean, is already in motion.
1,000. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things, again, as an artist, you kind of like, okay, you know what I mean? But at the same time, too, it's like, let me check my ego.
Right.
Let me sit back and be like, okay, you're going to wait on it, because you're going to wait and listen for it. You're going to pre-order it. You're going to do all those things, whatever, because at the end of the day, they're your fan.
And our fans sometimes
are one of those things that's like, they get so, they don't realize that you're human. And that, you know, you tick a certain way, and certain things will, you know, be your vices or whatever, and this or whatever. But it's like, when you humanize yourself, I feel like you get away a lot further with fans and just yourself and your craft than you do just being like, nah, this ain't me.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying about, like, you know, the pressure of, like, the outside people that don't really understand what we in, the world that we in, because, you know, you get unrealistic expectations. But like I said, I've been on both sides, so I remember just being a fan and me watching artists being like, man, he should have did this or he should have did that song or he should have did that. And then you get in a position and realize, damn, I wasn't even really qualified to speak on that shit when I was speaking on it, you know? So
what moment do you wish you could relive and even change if you could?
Moment I could relive, change. Damn, this is a good question.
I'll give you some time, you know. Okay. Think about it. It could be anything from, you know, but to the song, you know, giving it away. It could be from maybe you turned a phone call down. Maybe you did something that you're like, I fucked up.
I would probably say, Damn, it's so many. I'm trying to think of the best one because it's so many.
I feel that. I like your honesty. Yeah. You're going through the Rolodex.
Yeah, nah, for sure. I'm going through the Rolodex because it's a lot of when you think of on some personal shit, like family shit that, you know, like, okay, I want to handle that a little different. When you think about traumatic shit that happened to you, like, okay, I would have avoided that shit. I wouldn't have did that. But I would probably say, damn. Because, you know, you think about the butterfly effect, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I didn't do that, then I wouldn't be in this. Right. But I would say more than anything, what I would do different.
And you could just relive it and you could change it or not.
When I was 19, I met Kendrick Lamar for the first time. Didn't know he was Kendrick Lamar. But me and my brother, we rapped for my brother played beats and I rapped for them at like 2 a.m, right? And they told us to come back to the studio.
You didn't go.
I didn't have a car at the time. My brother had the car and my brother had to go to work.
And Uber wasn't existed.
Right.
Taxis were a bitch to get.
I would have went back. I would have rode my bike, caught the bus. I would have did something different.
For sure. I respect it. I feel like that's again with like the whole, I'm big on like, gratitude, manifestation of things. It's like you really forget of what we have the capability of doing. Of like now, you know, so it seems so simple now, where it's like, yeah, oh, I could just clear an Uber or Lyft or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Back then, it wasn't that easy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It was like you really had to be like, hey, can you pick me up at, or like, right, you know, if you're relying on your brother or whatever, and he's got something else going on, and he's not responsible. And now you're, right, you know what I mean. So it's like one of those things. So we take for granted,
right,
those little things from everything, from even social media. You know, I mean, that's how, you know, I feel like more artists these days kind of push their product and push the things with, you know, and being independent and not, right, having, you know, a label and all these other, you know, things that were, you didn't have that, you know, opportunities before, you know, even real myself shit. And, you know, what I was saying earlier about like me being like, man, I was mad earlier. It was a lot of it is from that where, yeah, it's like,
it's a different,
I had to do way more, and not that that makes what anybody else did after me discredited for what they do and how they come up. It's just that you kind of get like, well, man, like, yeah, you know, if I had, you know, this 5 right, years ago, then maybe I would be, you know, da 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 da. But you never know. And that's not, yeah, that wasn't my plan and it wasn't my journey. You know what I mean?
But you got to even think about that with perspective, just the fact of, you know, if you didn't do what you did, they wouldn't even be able to do it how they do it.
And that's the end goal where it's like, oh, okay, I obviously did something, whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's still going to,
nah,
get,
yeah,
those,
we human, we human, like, yeah, we, like, we,
but
human,
you know, but that's,
sure,
you know, that's what I'm saying now is like you take for granted those things where it's like you had lightly had these social media, you know, platforms and stuff like that, but it wasn't as heavily influenced,
right,
on people and their opinions and also, you know, money, marketing, you know, ABCD, all this stuff.
You
now
get
it's
paid
like
for so much
it's
different
like
shit.
That now.
It's like it's crazy
for sure. And not only that, in my industry, it's like people who, well, what I've done and because of the name and brand that I've, you know, built for myself is a big accomplishment for myself. But then you have people that aren't anybody, that doesn't have a name, doesn't have a following, doesn't have this, but they get paid for not doing anything.
Right.
And me doing the same thing, but now I'm glorified as something else.
Right.
And I can't have certain, you know, business things because I've done this, but you're doing, right, the same thing.
Right. Now I get you.
So it becomes a whole issue. And you know, in any really, in a business, I guess it's, you parallel them. They're very similar to, you know, it's supposed to be being music. Mine was the adult industry, you know, in the beginning. So it's like, now it's like media, you know, and stuff like that. So, but it's just very, they all kind of mesh together.
Nah, real shit. And it's so crazy because it's like, just with timing, like different doors open a different way. Like I was told a couple years ago by an executive, like because I got shot before, he was like, I can never sign somebody like you because it's too authentic. Like it's too close to it's liability.
What everybody else did this
right.
time, whatever.
But then again, it's like you'll go see those same people, go work with artists that portray a certain thing or move a certain way. And it's like, damn, that's crazy. Like
for sure. And my biggest thing for me is I don't like the word no. So if you tell me no, I'm going to find a way to get a yes. And not because I either need you, but I'm going to do it myself, or I'm going to build and do whatever. So it only makes fuel to my fire to make me elevate even more.
For
so
sure.
It's definitely, it's not a bad thing, but it's also, it's a learning thing.
Yeah, you know I say that shit all the
time. Elevating of what it is.
I say that shit all the time. And I'm one of them people like, if the front door closed, I'm going through the back door. The back door closed, I'm climbing through the window. Shit.
You're
going
to get yours.
If that's done, I'm coming down the chimney like Santa. I'm not playing. Like, you're not about to tell me no.
Okay, Santa.
Yeah.
So do you have a social media weakness? Is this something that you troll on? Is this something that you, like, you have a fake account that you be looking and you be looking at girl stuff? Like, what's going on? Or do you just falling down the deep down hole of, like, meme life? Or do you, like, YouTube sensations? Like, what's your social media weakness?
I would say, like, it's not like a fake account or anything like that, but I do this, I get into these moments where it's like, I'm just stuck scrolling, like, aimlessly, and I'm switching back from Instagram, Twitter, Snap, Instagram, Twitter, Snap. Like, it's just going back to back. I don't know
but
what the fuck,
like,
I'm looking for.
Okay, but you're looking for something.
Looking for something.
But you're not stuck on, like, a specific genre of something. You're just like scrolling to scroll.
And I don't know what the fuck I'm looking for, but I look up and it's like, damn, 30 minutes didn't pass and 45 minutes didn't pass and damn it, now it's an hour and I'm like.
So which platform do you use the most? Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat?
I use Instagram the most, but I scroll Twitter the most. Because I'd be liking to see the little funny shit.
Because I feel like each one is kind of different. Because for me, I'm not on as much on Twitter of recently. But I feel like Twitter is like where all the gems are. Because Instagram has been so haterish where they like censor everything. They want to fucking flag things that don't need to be flagged. But they want to other, you know, uncensored certain things. So it's just kind of like, I feel like I'm in jail all the time. Like I always did something wrong. And I'm like, what did I do now? So Twitter, I feel like people, you can speak more freely. People are, you know, either, you know, reposting what they posted on Instagram. So you can see kind of whatever, but it's like, it's more the realness of like an individual.
Yeah. You know, that's what I like about Twitter. It show that people just as fucked up as you. Cause it'd be like some crazy shit that you laughing at that you'd be like, I shouldn't be laughing at this shit.
And then you're like, how do they know that I laugh at this too?
Right. And that shit viral where everybody laughing, you're like, okay.
Or when they like they do those things where it's like, you know you're old when and you're like, damn it.
Nah, for sure. For sure.
Or I knew this at this year's old and you're like, fuck, how did I not know this thing? I'm like, you know, it really kind of educates you on certain things.
I fuck with that about Twitter for sure.
What are some daily rituals that you swear by and you think everyone maybe should explore? Do you have a routine or is it something you just wake up every day, maybe different?
Not yet. Every day is different. I used to. I should get back to that.
So let's talk about that.
My favorite part of the day used to be like not going to sleep, but that moment laying in bed before going to sleep. And that's why I used to like process my whole day and like decompress and just think about everything that went through that day. But
reflection.
Yeah, really just reflect on everything. But I don't do it as much as I used to. You get so caught up in just moving around and like your life just being on a continuous loop. Like, okay, you got to go to the studio this day. You got to go do this. You got to go do that. You know, I never know what the fuck time I'm going to sleep or whatever. So I need to add some structure back. That's what I miss the most. Like when I first started making some money off music, like I said, because I went working so many different jobs. Like, I used to just think of excuses to just go to Walmart or just go to the mall or just be around regular people that live everyday regular lives because I felt so detached because I'm around people that's, you know, that's in the maze with me every day. People that's, you know, doing business. We, you know, and this shit, you playing chess with five different people at one time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so it was making me feel normal to just go to Walmart and just people watch or just be at the mall and just
I can feel that for sure.
But then the pandemic kind of fucked that up, you know, so I was going through it a little bit, but yeah, that's that used to be a part of my part of my day to just go to stores and different shit just to kind of feel like normal again, like regular again.
I feel that. I feel like for me, the only comparison that I can do that to is like with conventions. So I used to do conventions. We do like meet and greets and whatever. And I really loved it. I loved meeting my consumer, who my fans were, right, talking to them and seeing what they liked, what they didn't like, even asking me the silliest questions. But like each fan was a fan for a reason. And like, I wouldn't be here.
Wait, what's the craziest, like this craziest shit you've been asked, like in one of those movies?
The craziest things I've been asked. Private talk, you'd like to know that. Craziest things that I've been asked.
You push the button for the time.
That one or this one? These are my two favorites. I don't know as far
tables
as
turned.
As far as crazy, like I will tell you the craziest encounter that ever had was a little like that. And maybe it'll come to me to the end. You know, we still have Truth with Texas to work. Okay. Maybe it'll come to me then. But I feel like the craziest encounter that I had with the fan was it was back in the AVN days where it was at Las Vegas. So it's a big thing. It's a big convention, whatever. So people are waiting in line for hours and whatnot, whatever, to see us. So this guy comes up and I remember now. He comes up and he has pictures of my hometown.
Oh, damn.
And he had this necklace that had dirt from my hometown. And he gave it to me and he said, "Never forget where you came from." So it's thoughtful and weird at the same time. Yeah. Is because the meaning behind that is really precious, yeah, as far as like what that means, but I don't know this person. So right, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing in a town? I'm from a town of 2,200 people. It's small as fuck. There's no reason why you would go there other than, yeah, and he literally went there because I was raised there, and I wasn't even born there, but raised there, right? So I'm like, damn it. If they don't hate me already, they're going to fucking hate me now, because right, these people are judgy as fuck. But he had pictures of the town and whatever. Mind you, my house was never included in there, because then I would really fucking probably call the security. But right, it was just that whole thing that it's one of those things that it makes you step back, because it's like, okay, do I value what I do and what I do for people? 1,010%, because I wouldn't be who I am in Alexis, Texas, if it wasn't for those people who really enjoyed myself and like who I am. But then it goes to another level. It's like, but why? Because the way that I had sex on a movie 5, 6, whatever years ago, are you in my hometown? Yeah. What are you searching for? And right, why are you searching for it there? And why are you talking to me all these things? So to me, it was just really odd. And I didn't ever like catch on to him. And maybe he's watching now because he's a fan still, whatever. And I apologize if this makes you feel any kind of way, but you made me feel a type of way at the time. So it's one of those things where it's like, I was very appreciative. But also at the same time too, it was like, that made me remember like to be mindful of watch where you are at all times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is one thing that we share our craft with people and my talent, you know, whatever with people, but also it's safety first. So for me, it's like, as being a woman and, you know, I sometimes took for granted my freedom of being just free and just be like, nobody knows who I am or, And I'm still like, you know, like that. And I don't travel with security, you know, when I go shopping or whatever, like things like that. Cause why? But you're just in mindful situations. I'm mindful of who is around me.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So that was probably the most ironic situation.
That shit would've tripped me out.
But it really was. It's because it was around that time too. Is like, you know how like you get those, like what, back in the day you had like rice with your name on it. Mm-hmm. It was like in one of those type necklaces, but it was dirt. Yeah, that part. You heard it, Private Talk. That was the weirdest encounter that I've probably had in a fan, which is really weird because that happened early on in my career. And I will say, like, again, with the conventions, I'm very personable, but I also feel like I give like an aura about me that I don't take no shit from nobody. So if you want to come at me correctly, cool, I can talk to you all day. But if you want to come to me sideways too, I can fuck with you too. And I can make it dismiss this conversation really quickly.
Right.
I feel like because of my demeanor and my alphaness, I feel like it kind of strays away the weirdness of like the questions that people have been like, But I feel like the most odd things would for me, which may not be to the average person as far as like question wise, would be like, oh, do you escort? Or, oh, do you do this? And I'm like, do you want to get punched in your motherfucking face? Or do you want to like talk to me correctly? Because I always make it to like humanize. Like, yes, I understand. Like, there's a yes and no question to everything. But would you talk to your mother, your sister, your daughter, or anything else like that? Talk to me respectfully. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I get it.
But at the same time, too, it's like, mind your P's and Q's.
Right.
So, respectfully so. Yeah, but, yes, for sure. Do you have, what is one of the weirdest encounters that you've had with a fan? You want to do the button for you? You like the button.
Nah, I would say, I couldn't say just one thing, but the weirdest shit is like, you know, people just knowing you before you know them. So sometimes people will walk up on you like you're supposed to know who they are.
And get mad when you don't.
Yeah, it's real. It's bro. Like, duh, like.
See, now because of COVID, the handshaking before, you're like. Ugh.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I got shot. So it's like my nerves is a little.
Jumpy about these people you don't know.
Right. So, so sometimes, like this is actually the weirdest. I was somewhere. And I was walking, and a dude jumped out the car. And it was just like, and mind you, like, I'm not, you know, like, I'm just really getting this shit going. But this dude jumped out the car and was like, he walked up on me, and I was just like, oh, shit, it's over. It's over. I'm out of here. Like, it's a wrap. He got the drop on me. It's out of here. But he was, hey, yo, man, I seen this video. You on the gram. Like, I'm like, oh, for sure. Good looking, bro. But that shit was like, duh, why did you pull up on the side of me and jump out the car?
But see, that goes back to me, or I feel like sometimes with fans, you just get super overzealous. Like, and like, you just, in that moment, you're like, I'm never going to have this moment again. You know what I mean? So it's like, you want to like, be like, obviously respectful because they're fans, but then you're just like, respect my space. Yeah. And that's why with COVID happened, it was like, the 6 feet rule wasn't all that bad. Yeah. And it's like, why weren't we doing things like this before? But, you know, in perspective, it's like, you know, it's just different. Like, even with me, like, with conventions right now, I won't do them at the moment is because I don't feel safe.
Right.
I don't feel like, I don't know where you've been. I know I'm cool with people that I'm with or whatever in a certain setting that I put myself into. But, you know, I'm very personal with my fans. And I didn't want to make it to a point where they thought that I didn't like them or, like, whatever.
It's because hug.
Exactly. And I'm very Southern. Like, I'm like, hey, this, whatever. Yeah, someone asked me to touch my booty. I'm going to let you. Just don't grab it. You'll be respectful. Don't be whatever. But for me now, I'm like, that's an issue because I don't know where you've been. And you can't be 6 feet from me. You know what I mean? So it's like it put in perspective of, like, how I had to switch things up. And, you know, what I do is, like, I'm going to just take a break for, you know, meet and greets at the moment because I just don't feel it does my fans justice because I don't want them to think that I don't fuck with them because I do. It's just I fuck with you on a different level where I'm like, let's just wait a minute.
So if I can't do it how I really want to do it, then we probably just shouldn't.
Yeah, because I don't feel like that for me being authentic, the whole thing, like what I talked about earlier, is like I like authenticity. I don't want you to be fake. I'm about like energy. It's like if what you give me, I'm going to give you back. And like if it's positive, whatever, or if you want to have a fun time, I want it to be an experience. I want you to be like, hey, I met Alexis Texas. She was dope as fuck.
Yeah.
She let me take a picture. Da-da-da-da. And not to be like, now this bitch was whack. She didn't want to talk to me. Yeah, she thinks she's too good for me.
Especially for women.
I'm a diva. I'm a this. I'm a that. She don't like me. You're a this. You know what I mean?
They never know your reasoning. So it's like they got to make it in their head. Like, okay, so she acted this way because she didn't like me or she felt this type of way. So.
And that is not the truth, Private Talk. But, you know, everybody needs to have their boundaries. I'm very big on that. I wasn't always. But, you know, putting boundaries into place in anything and all aspects in your life is very healthy for anything. So I hope you are liking this episode, Private Talk. We are going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to get to my favorite part, Truth with Texas. Are you ready, Jason Cash? All right, Private Talk, we are back, and we have Jason Cash on the couch. And I don't know if he's ready for what I'm ready for, but we're about to do Truth with Texas. It's one of my favorite parts, and I hope, Private Talk, you like it just as much as I do. Make sure that you are liking this episode, comment below, and do all that fun stuff. Make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, because if you're not, why the fuck are you here? But let's get back to business. All right, so how the Truth with Texas is going to work is we've got four cards. You're going to pick every single card by the end of the time. But each ace is a different suited question, and you're going to let us know, and we're going to get to know a little bit more about you. Are you nervous? Are you scared? Are you, you want some more tequila? What you need? What you need? What you got? All right. First card.
Let's pull one.
You pull one card. Ace of clubs. It's a kinky question. Oh, would you consider yourself a kinky person? Why'd you get so quiet? You're like, I'm not kinky. I'm sorry. I'm just Jason Cash. I make music. Don't lie to us now.
The truth.
Don't lie to us now. That one's an easy one. That's a yes or no.
I mean, I guess you could say that.
I guess. So you like in the middle. Like you ain't super freaky, crinky, crinky. I made up a word. Yeah. Kinky. But like if you were like given the opportunity, you'd be like, I'm open to it.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite time of the day to have sex? Are you a morning time, a night time? Is there more time that you're freakier, like that makes your like juices flowing?
I guess we'll say like past midnight.
Past midnight. So you a late night fucker.
Late at night.
Late at night. Do you have any fetishes? No. Nothing. You don't like spanking girls? You don't like choking girls, spitting in their mouth, doing anything inappropriate?
No, I don't have any fetishes.
Let's see. Have you ever been blindfolded somebody during sex? No. So you've done no bondage, no nothing? Jason, you need to like step it up. These girls out here want to do kinky things, not all of them. And some of it's like light kinky. It's not even like, you know, anything that's crazy. Cause I would consider myself like, obviously I've been in the adult industry for quite some time, but it's one of those things that I lightly play into it. I'm not like really big into like super dark fetishy, like dommy things, but I do like to be lightly choked. I like to be spanked. I like to be like, you know what I mean? What's the last dirty dream you've ever had? Do you have dirty dreams? Or you just reenact them?
I don't know, man. I don't even be remembering my dreams. I'm not going to lie to you.
Have you ever been caught masturbating?
Nah.
Never?
Uh-uh.
Ever in life? You're like stealth with it. Nobody knows what you're doing at any point in time.
Nah.
You're like, I'm a mess brain, nobody wanna find out.
Nah.
Ever? Even as like younger, growing up, girlfriends, like nobody?
Nah.
Man.
I've been caught doing shit, but like.
Caught doing what? Fucking?
Yeah, for sure.
So you've never been caught mass brain, but you've been caught fucking.
Yeah.
Please tell me this story.
Which time?
Whichever one is more interesting for profit talk.
Man.
Like, were you with a girlfriend and then she like walked into the studio and you had somebody bent over? Is that happen all the time?
I was with ex and her grandma caught us.
Oh, grandma caught us. Was she like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Or was she like, "Oh, I'm on my business."
She said, "Y'all in here screwing."
Screwing. You know that someone's old when they say screwing.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. So that was the most awkward. Did you keep going and finish, or was it, did grandma kill it for you?
Yeah.
Grandma killed it. No boner after grandma came in. You're like, fuck, grandma caught me. Was it your grandma or someone?
No, it was her grandma.
Well, that's a little less, you know, not scarred for you, but maybe for her.
Yeah.
Think about fucking in grandma's house.
Oh, that's comedy.
You fucked in grandma's house. I don't even know if you fucked in grandma's house, but grandma caught you.
Yeah, definitely at grandma's house.
Definitely. Ah, yeah, I snorted. You're welcome.
Shit.
Ace of Hearts, that's a romantic one. Would you consider yourself a romantic?
Yes.
What is the most romantic thing you've ever done for a partner? Are you like the whole Michael B. Jordan thing where you like lay out the whole, you're getting an aquarium, you're getting a roses, petal, the whole dinner? Yeah, like, tell us about it.
Cooking dinner and, you know. I'm more so like,
pause this question real quick. Let Private Talk know, what is your dating life currently at the moment? Are you single? Are you dating? What is going on? I think this makes this question better. You don't have enough tequila? Anthony, can we have some more tequila in the cup? Is your girlfriend texting you right now?
No, it's an Amber Alert.
Oh, damn it. How did I not get one? Amber better not. Amber Alert's not over here.
Yeah, I'm out the game.
You're out the game. So you're wifed up. Are you married? Are you like just girlfriend status?
I'm out the game.
What does that mean? Private Talk wants to know.
That's private.
But this is Private Talk where we say private information.
Yeah, that's the, you know.
So you're not single.
I'm out the game.
Okay, so
I'm not single.
Okay, so what is the most romantic thing you've done for this lady? We don't discriminate. We like people that, you know, like other individuals, because I'm about people who there's someone for someone everywhere. And I feel like more people don't support people actually being together that like want to be that way, but I feel like it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
But okay, their most romantic thing. That's what we said. That you don't want.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head right now.
Okay, so booty shorts or thong?
Shorts.
Do you sleep naked or with clothes on?
Clothes on.
Foreplay or sex?
Foreplay.
Lights on or lights off?
Depends.
Favorite music to have sex to?
None?
You like it quiet?
Want to hear it.
You want to hear it? Like the sounds of like her moaning, the moistness, the other people in the room.
Shit.
Why are you so scared now, Jason? We're friends. Why can't you tell Miss Texas what it is? Oh, I don't discriminate. I don't. You want my fan here?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Church fan.
Here you go. You know what, that church live. You can have that church fan over there. You get you over there. If I had pearls, I'd clutch them. But you know what I mean. Have you ever gotten head while driving?
Yes.
Have you ever fingered a girl while she was driving? You should try it. It's fun. Dangerous. Ever had sex on a beach? That's a no. Or a yes. I don't know. Why are you so quiet now? Like, you had a lot to say earlier, and now you're clamming up. Is it because your girlfriend's going to be mad when she watches this?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Okay. What's this best song that describes your life?
Best song that describes my life. If You Stay Ready by Sugar Free.
Okay.
If you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready.
I like that. Is that church fan doing you good?
Yes, you know.
Are you about to tell me the truth again? Are you like all clammed up tight? Yeah. You're like a virgin right now.
Man.
It's okay. The thing is this is a private talk, you know what I mean? We, at this point, you know, we know each other now.
Like,
we're friendly. Like, I don't judge you. I hope you don't judge me, but you could if you want.
Right, you could
do all kinds of things if you want to. But this is an open space. People want to know. They're your fans. And when we talked about earlier about making you a human and, like, people are like, that you're, like, actually, like, a person behind your artistry, is this is what they want to know.
This is not
what most people ask you. This isn't whatever, but this is why Miss Texas is here.
Yeah, you good.
So, with your church fan over here, are you ready for the next card?
I'm calling on Jesus take the wheel.
Texas took the wheel long time ago, baby. All right, spades.
Spades.
That's our favorite here at Private Talk. It's a naughty question, but we're all a little naughty here. Oral sex. Sloppy or clean? Do you want her gagging on it, or do you want her to, like, spit on it a little bit? You want her to just keep it night clean, you know, a little napkin, you know?
Sloppy.
Sloppy toppy. Do you like your ass eaten?
Nah.
Have you ever had it eaten? Nah. Do you like eating girls' ass?
Nah.
Doggy or missionary? Both. But if you had to pick just one, like if you could only fuck for the rest of your life in one position, would it be doggy or missionary? Are you an ass man or a tit man?
Both.
No, you can't say both. This isn't this like a free for all, Jason.
But you asked for the truth. The truth
is
both.
But we're doing one or the other.
Nah, I would honestly say if I had to choose, I would say missionary.
Missionary. Why? Because you like what? No, I'm not going to tell you my point of it. Why do you like missionary?
Because I don't just do that with anybody. You know what I mean?
You don't do missionary with anybody, or you don't fuck
saying,
any,
like, you
just anybody?
Just, you know.
Obviously, we know you're in a relationship now, but prior to.
I'm just saying, when you're in that type of time, like when you really like fuck with somebody.
So you want to see like her moans, her groans, her like all the things that we whatever. So you're a gentleman fucker. Like that's not a bad thing, and that maybe gentleman fucker isn't the right word because that's probably like, you know, like soft whatever. But you have feelings about like, because again, this is an open area. We don't judge whatever. Me, it's like being in the sex industry prior to and then having personal sex to work sex is very different. So you like and you need things, and you know what I mean? Like you need certain things that are different than just whatever. So I can understand the fact that you're like, okay, well, if she's turned around, I don't fuck if she likes it, if she's into it,
I mean, like if that's all you had, it's like, okay, you might get, you
know, bored. But all you had what? Just like all you had was an ass, or all the hell you had was doggy? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you said, if you only had one to choose from for the rest of your life, it's like,
okay, one to choose from. You can only get your dick sucked or you can only have sex. What would you do?
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm, because you said foreplay earlier. So foreplay is really important to you, Jason.
Damn.
If you had dick sucking off the table and you can only get your dick sucked and only had sex, what would it be?
Well.
You need me to give you this one?
Nah, I would have to choose sex.
I'm down with that. I like, for me, as much as I'm a foreplay type of person, if I had to take one off the table, it would be sex. I mean, foreplay, not sex, because that's the ultimate end goal. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, yes, I like the pleasuring of those things, but ultimately, I want to like climax to my, you know, potential activities. Does booty size matter?
Nah.
Fake or real?
I mean, I will only say I've never experienced a fake ass before.
I was going to say, would you be able to tell? Because now we're in the age of like, people are getting BBLs. All these other things, whatever. So it's like, it's hard to tell, and implants, whatever, but it's hard to tell like what's really natural and what's not.
Nah, yeah, to a degree, I would say visibly, you have some type of like, you can tell a little bit, but physically, I wouldn't know.
Okay. So, would you be willing to tell Private Talk your craziest booty call story?
I'm trying to think.
I snorted it again. Gosh darn it. Shit. I'm dropping things.
Now, you know what? The craziest shit that ever happened, like, I didn't even end up having sex with a girl, but this girl, she pulled up on me. She was
girl
like,
or girls?
Not this girl.
Okay.
But she had been drinking. I had been drinking, right?
I've been drinking.
Right,
been
but drinking. When she, like, she's chilling, and she gets up to go to the bathroom, and I realize she's way drunker than me. Like, just.
And y'all hadn't done any sexual activities at this point?
Nah, at this point, no. So when I realized how drunk she was, I'm like, yo, I gotta get her the fuck up.
Okay, wait, pause your story 1 second. How did you realize this? Did she stumble?
Yeah,
did she slur?
Nah,
did she say something out of pocket that you're what
stumbled.
Did this bitch just say?
She stumbled.
Okay.
Like fast.
Like she fell, stumble, or she caught herself?
She caught herself.
Because people are, I could be clumsy and trying to be cute and be like, oh shit, I just fucked up.
You know, certain shit you see, you like, nah, she drunk as fuck. Like,
okay. So you knew what it was?
Yeah. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, damn, how the fuck I'm going to get her out of here?
How am I going to strategically get around her without her making her feel bad?
Without making her feel bad.
Yeah.
So what I did was...
You're a nice guy. Look at you, Jason Cash.
So you see, you catch me being a nice guy, but she didn't. So
because she was drunk.
What happens is I get in her car. Like, cause
and she's we're about driving?
To go, yeah, because she said she's hungry. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go get something to eat, right?
That's
so
your
like,
first mistake. You going to let somebody who you just let stumble drive you to somewhere?
No. We didn't get in a car together.
Oh, I thought you
so
said
we
you
walked
were
out,
in her car.
No, I end up in her car because we walk outside and I see her car parked and it's parked like in the middle of the street. Mm. I'm like, what the fuck? Yo, so I get in her car and I drive her home. Like my plan was I'm gonna drive her home. I'm gonna call her Uber for myself. So she falls asleep in the car. So we get to her house. She wakes up. I'm like, I'm waking her up. Like, yo, like we at your house. I'm calling the Uber or whatever. She's like, I'm hungry. Take me to, like, I'm like, what the fuck? So I go through the drive-thru. Like, I go to Jack in the Box. She want tacos from Jack in the Box. I take her to Jack in the Box. Tacos. Mind you, we in the hood. So as we're in the drive-thru, we sitting in the car, and she's in from the back seat yelling, hurry the fuck up, hurry the fuck up.
Oh, it's like, a Jack in the back.
Yeah, so she tripping. So we get to the front, order the tacos or whatever. She asking for marinara sauce and shit like that. She's telling me to ask him. I'm like, yo.
You're like, I'm not about to ask these people for marinara. So look,
we pulling off from the drive-thru, right?
Do they even have that at Jack in the Box?
Man, I'm throwing who off. Doesn't? So we pull off from there, right? She reaches in the bag and sees the tacos and goes. She looks at me. I'll never forget this shit. She looked me in my face and says, tacos with no buttermilk? Wow. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, just the nerve. Like, I couldn't believe this shit. So I drive her back to her house. She falls asleep. Like, this is like 5 minutes. The Jack in the Box is like 5 minutes away from her house. Drive her back to the house. She falls asleep. I call me an Uber. And I call an Uber. She's like sleeping in the car. I give her the keys. I'm like, I'm trying to wake her up. Like, yo, you got to go in the house. But at the same time, I'm not about to just sit parked up in the hood with you. Like,
well, honey, you're a sitting duck at that point. And you got shot at one time. You're right. Nervous.
So I tell her, I try to wake her up. She don't get up. I'm like, shit, well, she in front of her house.
She's good.
So I hop out the car. I get in the Uber. And I'm telling the Uber driver what just happened. He was like, damn, like, you a good dude. Like,
his ass went back there and was like, hey, bitch, what's up?
Now what happens is she wakes up and sees that I left her. She go, what the fuck? You drove me home, you bitch ass motherfucker, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yo, I was trying to make sure you straight. I took you to get food, all type of shit. But yeah, that was my craziest.
That's crazy. So I'm sure you've never seen her again because she felt insulted that you didn't like fuck her when she was wasted out of her mind.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen her again.
But my thing is this, okay, as a woman, and I've been a drunk woman, obviously. I've done this thing, whatever. But what I value about men and these situations, because ultimately at the first target, they're like, oh, y'all are dogs. Oh, yeah, whatever. You're going to fuck whatever. But it takes a really strong individual and a man. So respect to you that you're like, hey, I know the situation. You don't want her staying at your place. You won't ever. So you want to make sure that she's good. So you take her home. You even went further in, is when she said she was hungry, got her food, did it, whatever. That should have been like, hey, the next phone call, the next movie, like, hey, thanks. You got me. I'm good. To me, that means that you're a respectable man, that, you know, if something were to happen, you got me.
Right.
But unfortunately, when you mean a thought box and you're doing whatever, you don't really correlate. You're just like, you didn't fuck me. You didn't do this. You didn't make me sure. You didn't carry me into my bed. You didn't do whatever. And to me at that point, it's like, you asked him for too much.
Yeah, and I knew her, so.
Because I've had friends, like, and I will love them till the day I die for certain things that they've done for me that I was like, you know what? And not even that I thought bad of them, but I didn't think that they would do as much in those situations that I was like, you're a real G. You put up with me being drunk, telling you whatever, da 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 da. Like, I got you for life. So, props to you. All right.
Appreciate it.
Last one is the diamond, which is spicy.
Okay.
We're all spicy. We're getting to know you a little bit more. You got your charge fan. You can't be too spicy. You know, you cooling it off.
Yeah.
Top 5 porn stars. Who are they? Don't act like you don't watch porn.
The truth.
Top 5. When I was younger.
Oh, okay. When we were younger, we're going here.
Huh? No order.
No order. No, like number order. Just like when they come at the top of your head, you remember. 5 is a lot. If you can give me 3, I'll be happy with that.
Pinky.
Look, your smile getting bigger. You're like, hey, we're living those watching days.
Damn. Lacey Duvall.
Hot.
My manager, he's giving his nod of approval.
He's like, she's a bad one.
Damn.
Who's the other? Like, I mean, I said 5, but I said I would accept 3. So I'll at least give me one more. You know that you be jerking off. Don't lie. Everybody does it. Private Talk knows that we all jerk off. That's why we're here at one point. Not because you've done it to me, but possibly. But the fact that, you know, it's an open invitation to talking about what adults do.
So I said Pinky.
Lacey Duvall. What's your porn search hub? Like, wait, your porn search history?
I would probably say
third. Do I get to ask your manager?
He probably got his own.
He's looking right now. He's like,
what is damn, this? I'm trying to think of a third. Maybe Melrose Fox.
Okay. I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, no. You know what?
You don't like Cherokee? You don't like...
These are honorable men.
I fucked Cherokee, and Cherokee definitely is not only an honorable mention. She's the top.
Nah, for sure. She's like, I mean, you know, I'm in my.
I seen
my
men.
20s.
Men do some funny things in front of her. The fact that like it was actually being around her was like, oh, I get it. I get why men fall all over ass because her ass. I was doing the same thing, but I could see like what people did for. Yes.
Do you know, I think her name is like Skin Diamond or something.
She was a guest on our show.
Oh, really?
I like her. Sexy. Sexy. All right. So, celebrity hall pass. If your girlfriend and Drea. You were to be like, Drea. Hey, what is it?
Drea.
Like from Basketball Wives?
Drea Michelle.
Oh, yeah. She's a hot one. Honestly, I've never met her. I've only corresponded through like Instagram, but I definitely am a fan of her myself. I've thrown myself out there. I've never got any response, but I threw myself out there appropriately, not like crazy, but she's definitely a bad one. I just like, for me about like why, when those things come into it, it's like the trifecta. It's not just because you're hot. It's because you have like intelligence and like you have substance behind you. And she's trifecta. Least sexy part of a woman. You're just like, don't care. Okay, what's the most sexiest thing of a woman that you gravitate to first? It could be anything from her personality to her ass fat, her titty. You said you're both ass and tits. So is it like what... made your woman be the one who take you off the market that you're like, oh, she a baddie all around?
I mean, what I gravitate towards, like, I guess you would say smiles, like facial expressions.
But is that really truthful?
That's facts.
Is it because she's looking from behind, she's giving you a smile, and that's like,
yeah, I'm talking about it like in general, like that's the thing.
So
that
like if
me.
That's what catches you your attention, so you're gonna talk to a female.
Yeah, like if you like face to face having a conversation. Like, little shit, because that shit stick, like, the way, like, nah, I'm not about to give all that up.
I want the truth!
Why not? We're already here. You can't just you can't just put your one toe in it and
like,
then
I mean,
come
like, you know, like,
it.
When you having those, like, you having conversations or whatever, she might laugh, like, raise her eyebrows a certain way, like, a little smirk that she does, like, that'd be the shit that gets you.
So you, like, in tune. Because most men aren't aware.
I pay attention.
And that's what I think is great. And then what I feel like makes you a well-rounded human is because you don't just, like, do the little shit that don't mean shit. It's the little things that mean something to you. So kudos to you. I hope that your relationship is wonderful and you get all the things that you need out of it. She seems like a down-ass bitch for to put up with a man like you. Nothing disrespectful. But it's a, you know, any woman to put up with anything in an industry like that, you know, that you are and do that is amazing.
Appreciate you.
So, you passed the truth with Texas test. Do you feel like you feel good about it? You feel like you want to tell us anything more about it?
Nah,
is there
I'm
something
good.
That you want to ask me since I put you under pressure? I got you a fan in your hand. I got you all these things. So
what's the biggest difference between like work and like personal life type shit?
As far as what, sexual or what? I think the biggest thing.
Before you answer that, okay. Like, does it make it weird? Like, okay, so say you, what are you dating somebody right now?
I'm not dating anybody. I am single.
Okay, so say you meet somebody, right, and they have like an expectation because of what you do. Like, does it make that part awkward because they have like a?
So I will say this. So because of what I've done in the past. So I haven't, okay, for to let you know, we've been putting this all about your whole, it's been your podcast interview. But it, one of those things, it's like, so my background, obviously within the adult entertainment industry for a very long time, within the last 3 or 4 years, I haven't shot any scenes, whatever. I've only done solo things with my OnlyFans and more business endeavors within the last couple years. So it's like me rebuilding my brand into a different network and doing the media stuff with the podcast and things like that. So with all of that being said, it's still not easy to date because of who I am and what I've done, quote unquote. I'm not ashamed of what I've done. I'm not ashamed of where I've been, whatever. I feel like, you know, it's only accelerated the human being that I am meant to be and exist in this life. I feel like it's given me different avenues, but it's definitely difficult to date. But with that being said, it's, yeah, that's why I'm single. But the same thing was like when it differentiates from what it means to being on set and what I need in my personal life. On set is like, it's a show. We're there. I compare it to being a sexual athlete. So I'm there to give the consumer what they want. And I enjoy what I do. I definitely, 80% of the time, I was truly definitely coming and doing all those things in real time. But it's also, too, you have a cameraman, you have this, whatever. They're telling you to open up. They're telling you to do what position to do, how long to do it, this, whatever. So when you have that kind of, I wouldn't say pressure, but voice over you, you're thinking about it mechanically. Whereas in the bedroom, it's my time. So I'm enjoying, not that I don't enjoy it on set, but it's a different enjoyment. At home, the enjoyment lies in, I do whatever the fuck I want to do. I'm doing me, you know what I mean? And I'm doing it organically from your feelings, your touch, your this, your that, you know what I mean? And then kind of going from there. So therefore for me, because it's not so opened up for a camera and more closed off to me being intimate is what gets me off more.
Got you.
So it's like nobody's dictating my vagina. And my vagina likes to explore. And she doesn't like to be told what to do. I don't think I like to be told what to do. But it's one of those things that is just like when you have your own like a free-for-all in a sense. It's like nobody's, it's like no camera's telling me this. I don't have to worry about an angle or what I look good or what I this or whatever. So again, like I said, it wasn't that it was not enjoyable prior to in work life. It was just a different experience.
Got you.
So I like the more closed off. I still like doggy. I still like all these other things too. It's like for me, it's like it's up in the air. If you're gonna put it down and you're gonna lay it down, cool. If you need to put me, if you need me to be in charge, I got that too. It's all a fun time. But definitely, when you're not being told what to do, I feel like because I've been in that situation or that scenario as far as being work wise, it's a different orgasm.
So, I guess my next question. So, you know how you said, like, 80% of the time, like, you actually enjoyed it or something like that, right? How many times have you shot with somebody and then they tried to hit you up, like, on some personal shit, like, outside of that? Does that happen a lot?
A lot. I will say because of my journey through the business, I was married prior to and I was with somebody in the business and people respected him. So I never got like the cliche hit up as much as some of my other friends that I have spoke with and like been friendly with have been before because they respected him. But it's still in the same time, like I've been divorced for over 5+ years. So for me, it's they still have throw it in there if they can. But for me, I always say this. If you don't ask, it can't hurt you. You know what I mean? The worst I can say is no. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to tell you no because that's just who I am. But, yeah, it definitely happens. It's one of those things, like, back in the day, it would be performers be like, hey, I want to shoot content with you. I'm like, just tell me you want to fuck me.
Right.
Keep on, honey. Let's just be honest. Who's really filming anything? But nowadays, because of OnlyFans and all these other things, is people really do that. And they do, like, you know, even if they're, it's like, went off like hookups, whatever, both of them can still sell and make money and they're doing whatever. For me, I'm just a little bit more private about my personal time is because I don't shoot in the industry anymore. And I've been so open about everything prior to that, that it's like, I fuck who I fuck and I do what I want, and that's just what it is. I mean, I don't have a problem talking about it by any means because I'm an open book. It's just if somebody asks me the right questions, then you'll get the right answers.
Got you.
And here we are, Private Talk. I hope you've enjoyed your time, Jason. Right, I hope that you've had a great time, that you don't feel like that you're going to take anything back, because here it's Private Talk, but your fans wanted to know a little bit more about you that people have probably not asked you. So I'm glad that I was been the advocate here to be served, to give them what they want.
Not for sure.
So can we please know your social media, where we can get any of your music on your platform? Let us know.
On all social media is, you know, Cash, UKNOWCASH. The music is available on all DSPs. Jason Cash, JAYSON, Cash. Tap in.
You heard it, Private Talk. Make sure that you support him, you go and follow him, and get all the things that you need from Mr. Cash, because I know I will. So thanks for tuning in, and till next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.